Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15 to 23. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15 to 23. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth is the title of today's message. We're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about what God's Word says concerning marriage. That it is a divine institution that God has established, and it is God who has originated marriage. God Himself was the first marriage counselor, the first marriage solemnizer. He was the first to have brought Eve out of the ribs of Adam and brought her to him, fearfully, wonderfully made as his helpmeet. God was the one who gave away the first bride, and he was the one to officiate the first wedding in the Garden of Eden. A joyous occasion as we think of the wedding bells and as we think of the marching of the bride in the aisles and the covenant that is made before God. Marriage is a permanent, the Bible tells us, exclusive, intimate, complete, physical, mental, emotional, intellectual, and reproductive relationship between a man and a woman whom God joined together and pronounced as one. Genesis 2, 21 to 24 tells us, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and he shall be called woman, because she was taken out of men. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." This new family unit is established when the man and the woman, we said, signs the marriage register. You put your name on it, and that is the seal to effect the marriage. So legally speaking, the woman is now called the wife, Mrs. So-and-so. But it does not make her, as you think of it, a companion, though this is the purpose by which marriage was ordained. What is the purpose by which marriage was instituted, by which marriage was ordained? Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord said, the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." So the woman ought to honestly ask herself, if the man will be a companion to her, whether she's prepared to be his companion for life. And the man ought to honestly ask himself if he will be a companion to her, whether he's prepared to be a companion for life. This is the purpose of marriage, that you would have a helpmeet, a companion with you, because Adam was lonely by himself. So this is the primary consideration over many other matters that a couple would think about when they plan to find a partner for life. So the woman may think, if this man is a good provider, is able to provide for me, would that be stability in the home? Is he able to offer security in a marriage relationship? Or whether the woman would be a good mother to the children that were to come. But the primary consideration is this, that the relationship between the husband and the wife is that of companionship, that they would have a friend that is above all friends, closest and most intimate. So the wife is a helpmeet for the husband. This is the design of God for the family, a suitable helper, where together they would be complementary one to another. And so the emphasis in a marriage is this, that there is that oneness. There is that oneness. And without Eve, Adam would be incomplete. So after the marriage, Adam was complete because Eve was there to complement him. And you know, marriage is a covenant that is made by a vow between the husband and wife that is before God. It is not a business contract as what we would think of, right, where you know you would look to find an escape clause. Say, if things don't work out, then let's see, I better build in the contract an escape clause so that you know I can pull the plug. And in our day, it is seem to be becoming a prevailing norm for husband and wives to pull the plug whenever they could not sustain. But this is not God's design. In Europe, divorce rates can go up to 60-70%. In the US, 50%. Here in Singapore, no less. What happened to the intent of God for a happy family? You see, when the family is stable, the family is established, then the society would be stable and the society would be established. Without stable families, happy families, the society will not find the stability it needs to rear the next generation. And so here in the book of Proverbs is given to us great wisdom on what we ought to do in a marriage relationship. Just two thoughts. Cherish your wife, your helpmeet, your companion. Verses 15 to 19. And the curse of cherishing any other companion. 20 to 23, cross-reference to what we have studied last week from verses 1 to 15. So cherish your wife, the curse of cherishing any other companion. So when the core purpose of marriage for companionship is violated, the prophet Malachi said very well in Malachi 2:14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Here is our text. Is taught to us the wisdom to protect the marriage relationship between the husband and the wife. And the admonition here goes out to the man to be faithful to the marriage vow. You know, we have the Chinese word for peace, harmony in the home, one woman in a home. That's peace. And the Lord wants us to cultivate strong marriages so that homes will be stable. The Reverend David Angusma of the First Protestant Reformed Church, he wrote in a tract, he says this: every pastor knows how serious is the threat to marriage in the church today. That marriage is in trouble in the world hardly needs to be pointed out. Many live together without marrying or fornicate promiscuously like beasts, holding marriage in contempt. Many others divorce and remarry. And the marriage is under attack also in the church. He says, no denomination, no congregation is exempted. And the attack on marriage in the church is made through divorce. Two who have become one in marriage split up again into two. Either the wife leaves the husband, or the husband puts away his wife, or they file for a full legal divorce. And so he observed, he says, more and more, and all members of the congregation noticed the threat in the church, because a thing was unheard of, or even unthinkable before. And the pastor knows how much more danger there is behind the scenes, where trouble in the marriage is not suspected by the membership of the church. He made this statement 40 years ago. Has the marriage situation become better in the decades following? I believe not so. The human heart, depraved above measure, needs the Spirit's guidance. And so he wrote, he further observed, he says, the cost of breakdown in marriages. He says, every pastor also knows how snug and horrible some marriages become through the sins of the husband and the wife. Marriages in the church, although they live together under one roof, at least some husbands and wives so sin against each other over a long period of time that their marriage is a mockery of the close, delightful bond described in Scripture. He says, either the husband is a cold, unfeeling brute who rules tyrannically, or the wife is a contentious shrew, always contradicting her husband, or the marriage is constant criticizing or bickering, or they pretty much go their own ways. Not far from the dollar, he shared also his counseling challenges. He says, every pastor has had a feeling in his difficult labor with a marriage that the only way out is divorce. That it would, in fact, be an act of mercy to counsel them to divorce. And he says, woe to him if he follows his feeling instead of the word of God. But this is his feeling. What is said about divorce cannot be ascribed to the writer's ignorance, he says, of how complicated marriage situation can be ascribed, or can become in the church, and how fearfully sin can strain and tear the marriage bond. Although sin complicates matters, the Word of God gives clear instruction concerning marriage and divorce. And so the Word of God tells us, and that indeed, that there is a need to make good of a marriage. The saying, prevention is better than cure. It's better to take steps to ensure that there are happy marriages than to salvage marriages on the rock. With a clear wisdom from God's word, than to have to live with broken marriages. The aftermath, after the devastation of separation, and finally a divorce. Let it not be described that the lifetime together between a husband and wife, as one writer puts it, as unfulfilling, argumentative, angry, disappointing years. Let it not be. And so for the young ones who are seeking a marriage companion, looking for a partner, you see, this is what God is looking for you. A companion that will be for you a helpmeet for a lifetime. This is what God's design is, and God wants us to know His will. He wants us to know His purpose. And so this first thought, cherish your wife, cherish your helpmeet, your companion. Verse 15 says, drink waters out of thy own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thy own, and not strangers with thee. The Lord impresses upon us the superiority of marriage, the marriage bond, over fornication and adultery. So here our text is a call for men and women, husband and wives, to faithfulness within the marriage bond. This writer by the name of Gary Brady, he said very well, what makes us think that water from another well will be sweeter? What makes us think that water from another well will be sweeter? Enjoy then with thankfulness thine own, and desire not thy neighbor's wife. And we have read of the story of David. The Bible tells us, 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it was past in the evening tide, and David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the man, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And we know the story, how he violated Exodus 20 verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. So our text tells us that it is better to be faithful, far better to be faithful than to be going to a prostitute or being an adulterer. The Lord tells us, and this we say that is so commonplace that we hear of unfaithfulness in the marriage so often. Does it not sadden your heart? And as you look at the family, how there is a deep sense of brokenness amongst its members each time such a thing happens within that home. It is not the wife and the husband that suffers. It is the children who will suffer.
So our text tells us that physical, spiritual adultery is wasteful. Spiritual, physical adultery is wasteful. Have you seen, a broken pipe when you are sometimes out in the streets and the water just flew out of the pipe? You say, wow, what a waste. Right? The water just flew out. Fresh water. And because it is not, the pipe is broken. It cannot be contained. So precious water just spill all over the place. If there's a garden, it becomes totally muddy. This is what is being described here. When a man, a woman, well, is unfaithful, it's as if it's a spilling out of good water, fresh resources. You are losing your vitality, you are losing your life, as it were. This is what is described here in our text. So the admonition, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. The marriage relationship is likened to the relationship between Christ and the church. The purity of it, the goodness of it. But here, Solomon is showing to us a grim reality. How is it that homes become weak? How is it that homes become a place of contention rather than a safe haven? Well, here is described for us how the husband and the wife, you look at the text here, needs to think and consider how that marriage relationship is, how it ought to be cherished, how it ought to be strengthened, how that relationship between the husband and the wife ought to be built up. Our text tells us in verse 15, drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water into the streets. So he says that build your family well and strong by building a good relationship between the husband and the wife. And verse 19 he says, verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Enjoy the companionship that you have with the woman you have loved. And how it is that many relationships turn cold because it's not cultivated, it's not cherished. And how our text tells us that we must take time to go back to the fundamentals, go back to the basics. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Here is a very intimate physical description of the loving relationship between the husband and the wife. And this is God's design for the family, that relationship encompasses all aspects, physical, emotional, intellectual, spiritual. Here is described for us how the man rejoices in the wife he married when he is young. This is God's wisdom, and she's pictured here as a loving, graceful deer, very docile, moving, a very trusting creature that a husband dotes upon. And here is a description of that relationship between the husband and the wife, how beautiful it is, that relationship, and how is it that, how, why it is God's design for it to flourish, how it is God's design for it to prosper. And husbands and wives don't think too much on these things, right? In a materialistic world that we live in, well, there are many other priorities. But here is given to us the core priority in a marriage, the companionship between the husband and the wife. And so the family unit revolves around the cultivating, the building, the cherishing of this husband-wife relationship. That's why in Israel, you know, when a man gets married, he's given time off to be with the wife. That they would take time together. If there's a war, well, he wouldn't have to go to be drafted to be in the army. He is to take time to build that relationship. Here is the priority that God gives to build strong homes in Israel. It begins with building a strong relationship between the husband and the wife. And so it's given, driven here to us in a very clear way, right, how it ought to be. That's what the Lord wants us to think and ponder. And then the second thought, the curse of cherishing any other companion. Verse 20 to 23, cross-reference to the first 15 verses that we have seen last week. And verse 20 says, "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" The Lord tells us how there is that struggle, there is that battle between the flesh and the spirit. And the Lord wants us to have that victory as the people of God, to understand, to cherish the beauty of holiness, to work in a boundary of God's care for the protection of the family in marriage life. And so here it is said to us, why would thou be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? When this happens, when you have children, children are old, what to do? The wife is heartbroken. And what to do? I feel cheated. I feel betrayed. What is the way out? Right, when we are in that situation, you will see how tough it is, how painful it will be. Shall we sell the house, then divide the spoil, and then go our own ways? You see, these things would come. And then the custody of the children. But should it be like this? Must not be. Should not be. Ought not to be. And so it begins with an admonition that we would be circumspect to understand the danger to the destruction of the family unit. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And this for every man and woman, for everyone who is thinking of going into a marriage relationship, well, we ought to think carefully. And Solomon writes these words so that we may ponder carefully what we are going into when we would choose a life partner, a companion for a lifetime. How it ought to be. What God's design it should be. And so let us not enter into a marriage unadvisedly. Here the word of God gives to us the good advice, the counsel, the warning, and he wants us to take note and take heed to the danger, to the destruction of the family. For the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. It is like a rope, a chain that binds a person so tightly that he cannot get out. We have studied the life of Samson last week. How he began on the wrong footing when he took a liking to the girl that he saw in Timnah. And he saw and he said, I like her and let me have her at all costs. And that was the beginning of disaster. How that marriage ended up broken. Right? You remember? The wife was given to the best man. And he was so angry. And then came other sins in his life. He went to look for a harlot. And further sins came into his life. James Dobson, he observed, he says, we all know that divorce has become a fashionable way to deal with marital conflict in the past 3 decades. Books such as Creative Divorce have described it as the start of a brand new life that was in the best interest of the entire family. But this is patently untrue. Divorce is devastating, not just for the children, for their hurt and angry parents too. Women pay a particularly high price, even when they are the ones who opted out of the relationship. He says, let me explain. There have always been irresponsible men who were unfaithful to their wives and abandoned their families. And this is still going on and accounts for millions of broken homes today. Then he says, but in my lifetime, marriages have begun to disintegrate for another reason. He said, women, encouraged by new freedoms and financial security, have shown greater willingness to pull the plug. He says, I've worked with many frustrated wives who seem determined to obtain a divorce. But because romantic love was missing from the relationship. And this woman expressed great anger and deep resentment towards husbands who were either unwilling or unable to meet their wives' basic emotional needs. And so he highlighted the consequence is a disintegration of the family. Emotional development in children is directly related to the presence of a warm, nurturing, sustained and continuous interaction between both parents. Anything that interferes with the vital relationship with either parent can have lasting consequences for the child. So there was a study made, a landmark study that revealed 90% of the children from divorced homes suffered from an acute sense of shock when the separation occurred. It includes profound grieving and irrational fears. 50% reported feeling rejected and abandoned, and indeed half the fathers never came to see their children 3 years after the divorce. 1/3 of the boys and girls feared abandonment by the remaining parent with an intensity that researchers describe as overwhelming. Most significantly, 37% of children were even more unhappy and dissatisfied 5 years after the divorce than they had been at 18 months. In other words, time did not heal their wounds. In summary, divorce brings such intense loneliness to children that its pain is difficult to describe or even contemplate. So the Lord wants us to see, and Solomon is giving to us a kind instruction of wisdom so that we may understand that it is for our good that the family unit is cherished, that a family unit is kept, that a family unit is protected, that the families within the church are protected. Cherish your wife, your helpmeet, your companion. Understand the curse of cherishing any other companion. And I just, while we close, just remind us what we have read last week, what we have studied last week. Hear me now, verse 7, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of thy mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honour unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labours be in the house of the strangers, and thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. How sad, isn't it? And the Lord wants us to learn well. So for our younger youths in our midst, you know, God's word shows you the wisdom, what you ought to do, what you are looking for in a marriage, and from there, how important it is to protect yourself, to keep the purity of a marriage relationship. May God be merciful to us. Let us pray. Father, we pray for thy mercy, pray for thy grace to protect the families of thy church from the ravages of the temptation of cherishing companions that are outside the marriage. Oh God, I pray that thou be merciful and gracious to strengthen thy people to know the danger and to have the wisdom to flee every youthful lust. May thou be gracious to protect thy people from the attack of the evil one, and lead us not into temptation. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.